Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Feels good to be back with my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, how are you?
I'm doing great. Ready to get into this show.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And on today's show, Ray and I will be holding it down, and we're going to be talking all things sports, but especially the NBA Finals, which I know has all sports fans on the edge of their seats. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. Now, as always, I'll toss it over to my co-host Ray to give us this week in sports history.
All right, for this week in sports history, I chose June 11th, 1993, when the legend himself, Michael Jordan of the Chicago Bulls, along with Sir Charles Barkley of the Phoenix Suns, they each scored 42 points in the NBA Finals game, which marked the first time in NBA Finals history that two opponents scored 40 or more points in one game.
Oh, the memories. Now we only have Steph putting up those type of numbers in this current finals. Right, I also chose basketball, but I'm going to June 10th, 1970. I'm bringing it back home, and that's when Earl the Pearl Monroe, the Bullets All-Star guard, he actually had surgery on both of his knees in a hemorrhoid operation at St. Andrew's Hospital. But guess what? At 25, he was still able to average, after the surgery, 21.4 points and lead Baltimore to the NBA Finals in the 1970-71 season. That's when time was good here in the DMV in Baltimore, right? Times haven't been so good since. That being said, it's time for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Listen In with KNN. Stay tuned.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, where we'll now get into sports around the nation. I'm Kelsey Nicole Nelson, joined by Ray Jones. And Ray, of course, we have to start with the NBA playoffs. But before we talk Game 5, I want to recap our last live show that we did at the Carolina Kitchen in Hyattsville, Maryland. I'd love to thank founding managing partner Don Moss, first off, for having us. And I'd like to thank everyone that came out to support us. Ray, what a good time it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good time. There was a lot going on. A lot of people showed up to support the show, support Carolina Kitchen. So thank you, Dawn, for having us, and we look forward to doing some more things in the future.
Yeah, it's only going to get bigger and better. You'll have to make sure y'all are following us on social media at ListenIn with KNN on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, because that's where we'll post all our live events, and we are going to be doing a lot more. And as we said, Don, thanks for putting it together. We had special guests, including Marv the Big Show. We had Gia Cook in the building. Yes, the last name is familiar because she's Quinn Cook's sister. We had Serge Ibaka's cousin, and much, much more. We'll be releasing the video soon. So again, stay tuned to our social media pages to recap that great event. And Ray forgot one of the best parts. We had some good Carolina Southern Kitchen food, which made our bellies nice and full, which made the show even better. And then thanks to everyone who participated in trivia during the show. It was nice to give out free drinks, so that was a good time. All right, Ray, Game 5, we will break it down. Some people headed out to Canada, Ray, because they thought that the Toronto Raptors would be crowned champions, but as we all know now, in that thrilling game of the series, the Warriors actually put out the one-point win, 106-105, over the Toronto Raptors. Now, before we talk about the sad part of the game, let's talk the good part of the game. What went right for Golden State Warriors?
I mean, I like always, the Splash Brothers showed up in the fourth quarter. As you saw, they countered Kawhi Leonard's 10 straight points, back-to-back threes, Clay and Steph, and that pretty much put the game away, and they ended up winning. It was a tough game for them to overcome the emotions of seeing KD get injured, so I'm interested to see how they perform back in Golden State. I know they're going to be really excited, and the crowd's going to be behind them for the last game at Oracle Arena.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe the last game at Oracle Arena. Shout out to my Uncle Johnny, who has been a usher there since the beginning. It's going to be his last time being an usher, and everyone that's been out to a game pretty much knows Michael Johnny because he's been there from the beginning. But you talked about it. It was a great game. Things went right for the Warriors. There is some things that they need to clean up, but I'll just recap the last minutes of the game. The Raptors were actually up by 6 points. You remember Kawhi kind of went off before those last minutes with under 3 minutes remaining. But then they shot 1-6 down the stretch, which you can't do against a Golden State Warriors team. Now, Kawhi was able to hit a jump shot that put them up 103-107. But the Warriors were able to survive everything that happened. Klay Thompson hit a big three. Of course, Steph Curry hit a big three. No surprise, the Splash Brothers, as Ray talked about. And even with Boogie Cousins' offensive foul that scared many people, that gave the ball back to the Raptors. That was one with a chance to win it. They were unable to capitalize. But it was a really good game. And, of course, I think seeing the Warriors very rally after the whole Kevin Durant scenario, and many were saying that the Warriors could not win that game without KD, I think it made them stronger, but I am scared for the games ahead. And we're talking about KD, so we might as well talk about the injury. So basically, right, it's not looking good. And we were going to talk a lot of NBA free agency, and of course, KD's injury affects that. But Bob Myers, you see how close he is with Kevin Durant. You saw how he went to the podium after the game and even helped Durant to a waiting car as he was hobbling out of the building in a boot. And he said this, he said, it's people, sports is people. And this is, again, the GM of the Warriors, Myers. And so I know Kevin takes a lot of criticism and hits sometimes, but he just wants to play basketball. And right now he can't. Basketball has gotten him through his life. I don't know that we can all understand how much it means to him. He just wants to play basketball with his teammates and compete. His Durant's ability to do that in these finals, unfortunately, ended early in the second quarter. Ray, when you saw KD go down, what were your first thoughts?
I mean, when you see the instant replay, you kind of can see it appears to be an Achilles injury. You see the way his leg kind of vibrates, and it kind of seems like a ripple effect goes from the bottom of his leg up to the top. I'm not sure if something popped, but that's kind of what it looks like with slow motion. So it was just it's unfortunate. He was planning to do a crossover, and it just kind of went out on him. So you can see it in his face. He immediately grabbed the back of his foot, and it's just devastating to see him go down, because I know he fought really hard to get back into this series to help his team out, and he kind of sacrificed a lot for that. So we'll see what the actual official word is on it. But
yeah, it's heartbreaking, Ray, and I think KD showed the heart that he had for his team in the game, and of course everyone said, oh, the Warriors need KD. KD come back, even though we all knew it was too early. Yes, that will address the elephant in the room. And though it's not a time to place blame, it is really scary because, again, if he has to come back from this injury, not everybody comes back the same. Of course, KD is in his prime right now and up for one of the biggest summers of his entire career. So there's a lot of questions, but I still think what he gave to the Warriors, right? We were watching that game at Carolina. We were watching that game earlier this week. And that being said, I mean, KD just, when he was in, right, he was giving it his all, and he was just straight money from behind the arc. But seeing him go down, it's just a scary time. I do want to salute Drake, because yes, he is a Raptors super fan, but when he saw KD go down, you could tell just he was hurt, right? Because he loves the game of basketball at the end of the day. We love our team, but you never want to see anybody go down like that. He actually consoled KD as he walked off the court. And then also he sent out an Instagram post later that day just talking about how much the game means to KD and how he hopes he gets better. So that was a good part. Did you like Drake's antics, Ray? Was it real? Was he really for KD?
I didn't really care either way for it, honestly. Drake is always in the spotlight when he shouldn't be. KD really didn't acknowledge him as he tried to console him. So, I mean, I think you cared about
that
story.
D&D pride. Yeah, it was tough. But like you said, I think, I don't know. I mean, I know Drake's in the headlines, but I do want to say that's, I think, sincere. Again, if you like basketball and you like competition, you'd never wish ill on anyone. And KD was hitting it. So seeing him go down like that, especially an injury that big, it hurts. And I think everybody inside the arena was sad to see that. Now,
I think the bigger part was the fact that the fans were cheering that KD got hurt. You
that
see
was
a lot
nasty.
Of clapping.
Yeah.
I think that was more of a story to see all those people clapping and cheering. I saw a video clip of like a bar where the whole crowd celebrated as if they had won the championship that day. You can see a lot of the players reacting to the fans cheering. you know, you saw Clay, you saw Draymond, they made some comments in the press conference, and you saw Ibaka and Kyle Lowry also kind of like telling them, hey, don't cheer for that. That's not something we need to celebrate. So I think that was kind of like the bigger story, was that fact that a lot of, it wasn't the whole crowd, obviously, but for some people to cheer of him having such a devastating injury, or what appeared to be a devastating injury, I thought was kind of crazy to me, honestly. But I do believe in karma, and I think that karma is going to come back, and I feel like the Warriors are going to take that and fuel themselves to make this historical comeback and end up winning a championship.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that point. I think that's the thing about sports. It can bring out the best in us. It can bring out the worst in us. Sports has brought out racist taunts against athletes. It's brought up fans shoving players. And also it's brought out fans being happy for someone getting injured. And it's Saturday. I'm glad you addressed that point. I'm glad athletes called it out. And there were some celebs call it out. And there were some of us everyday average Twitter users that also called it out. So again, you never want to see anything like that. At the end of the day, KD is a human being. You never want to see anybody get hurt. And I'm glad that you said the athletes that called it out, and hopefully the fans realize that. Like, again, I know the Raptors are going for their first ever championship. I know all the emotions behind that, but again, you never want to see that. And actually, Rain, you mentioned Kyle Lowry, and that's actually a question I want to talk about on this show, because I got some Twitter comments. I had retweeted something where a Twitter user asked, is Kyle Lowry, is he a Hall of Famer? So I want to put it out there right to you. Is he a Hall of Famer at the end of the day when all is said and done?
Kyle Lowry, I would actually have to look at his statistics as far as his accolades. I don't know that he has enough all-star appearances to actually be considered a Hall of Famer. I know he may have made the All-NBA team a couple times, but usually you have to have a lot of accolades. You have to have, not necessarily have to have championships, but you definitely have to have the accolades to make the Hall of Fame. So just off the top of my head, I would say no, I don't think he has those accolades. But maybe, honestly, I don't think he'll ever get to that point, because there's a lot of good point guards in the league right now. It may be a little tougher for him to consistently make the All-Star team. Depending on what Kawhi does this offseason, he may be the only superstar in Toronto, so we may see his numbers change a little bit there. But as of just on top of my head, I want to say no, he's not a Hall of Famer at the moment.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask you this question, though. What are your thoughts on Iguodala? Is Iguodala a Hall of Famer?
That's good. I'll try to address both. I think Kyle Lowry, I think he's a good player. But, Ray, you said a point that I was going to bring up. When you talk about a top point guard, he's not usually in that conversation. Again, he's a good player. And what he's done in Toronto, I'm glad you also addressed that. He's been great for Toronto, but he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm sorry to break it to you if you're a huge Kyle Lowry fan. But, again, he's a talented player. You look at his numbers. There's nothing particular that really catches me off guard or stands out like you need to be an all-star. I know Eric Bledsoe was one that's been in his corner, and he actually said he thinks that he's going to be a Hall of Famer at some point in his career. And you said Iguodala, right, Ray? Is he a
Yes.
Hall of Famer? Yes, that's another good question, and I think this is another one that comes up. That is a good one. I'm on the fence about him, right? I'll be honest. Obviously, he's a talented player, again, and he's had some great stuff go through, but I don't know if I'm putting him right in the Hall of Fame category, Ray, just yet. But if you look at his numbers, again, I don't know them off the top of my head, but I think when we're talking about him, you do have to start talking about him seriously when you talk about the Hall of Fame conversation, but he's not a sure ballot Hall of Famer like there are some of those players in the game right now. What about you? Are you putting him right in, Ray?
All right, so let's just get a quick comparison. I did a quick lookup. So if you look at Kyle Lowry, he has 5 All-Star appearances, 1 All-NBA third team, second team All-Big East, and Big East All-Freshman team. So that's not a long list of accolades. It's decent with the 5 All-Stars, but we don't know that 5 All-Stars would be enough. But then if we switch over to Iguodala, Iguodala has 3 championships, a Finals MVP, only 1 All-Star appearance, but he also has an All-Defense first team, All-Defense second team, and an All-Rookie mm-hmm. first team. So the championships may push Iguodala a little closer.
Yeah, that's
the
what
Hall
I was
fame.
Thinking. Those championships matter.
Championships definitely matter. And then on top of that, being the Finals MVP is a pretty huge accolade. Not a lot of people or players are.
It's like a cherry on top.
A lot of players make the All-Star team. 5 is not a lot. So I would honestly, based on that, and I think I would have to lean more towards Iguodala. I think the Finals MVP and those championships push him over the top. And then he has, overall, he has more accolades. So I definitely think that he will potentially get in. But Lowry, it depends on if they get this championship and how he finishes out his career. Because it seems like he has a lot left. He's not really slowing down much. But he can definitely get there if he keeps working.
Like you said, it's a good one. But like, and then also I think you need to look at their positions. But like you said, I thought it was a great question, though, Rick. For the most part, though, Twitter said no, but there were those people who tried to justify Kyle Lowry getting in. But I had to bring that up to you. I had to bring it up. All right, Ray. So now, unfortunately, keeping the ties on the lesser news in sports, this one really hurts, especially if you are a baseball fan. But I'll say really if you're a sports fan, Boston Red Sox legend, everybody's heard it by now, David Ortiz getting shot in the Dominican Republic at a bar/club in Santo Domingo. He had to undergo emergency surgery to repair the damage that was done by the bullets to both his intestines and his liver. Ray, this story, I think, caught everyone off guard, right? He's in his home country. He's the player that we've all loved for all that he's given to baseball. And hearing that somebody went in and shot him in the back was just, it was devastating, Ray. So when you heard that news, I mean, what was going through your mind?
I was kind of shocked. Like, at first they said it was, the story came out like it was an attempted robbery. But then once the video footage released, you see he was just sitting there talking to someone and someone just literally walked up behind him and shot him. So there has to be a lot to the backstory. Like, something else is going on. Maybe they had an altercation previously or something involved, like maybe some type of hit or something. But it definitely didn't seem like a random robbery. It was definitely premeditated. And if you look at the videos, also there's a lot of videos floating around online. They appear to have caught one of the people involved, and the crowd, like, beat him down real bad.
Yes, they did. He would have to go to the hospital, too, after. They did not let him just run out after shooting Big Poppy.
Yeah, so it was interesting to hear the rest of the story and, like, why this happened, what was the issue. But we hope that David Ortiz just makes a full recovery. They're saying he's doing well. He didn't have any super serious injuries associated with his organs. But, of course, having part of your intestines removed, part of your liver removed, is definitely something that's going to take a long road to recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's just, it's sad, but I'm glad he's still alive and still fighting. As you said, listen to McKinnon and Ray and I are both keeping him in our prayers. The 43-year-old former slugger and 3-time World Series champion, his wife Tiffany released a statement saying that he had a successful surgery on Monday night. And in Boston, and that he's stable, awake, and resting comfortably in the intensive care unit where he'll have to remain for several days. So that one just, it's heartbreaking, right? It's heartbreaking, but I'm glad that he's at least, again, a fighter and still with us. All right, Ray, we're going to go back to a lighter note and hopefully get our listeners smiling about some stuff in the sports world. So this one was pretty exciting. The Oakland Raiders, shout out to you fans, on Hard Knocks. That was some of the big news that came out earlier this week. The Raiders have had, you know, multiple storylines that really get fans' interest, okay? We can talk about Antonio Brown. We can talk about Vontez. We can talk a lot of things. Richie Incognito, I mean, it goes on and on and on. But Ray, Hard Knocks, Oakland Raiders. Wow. Very exciting. And I think this one is going to do well. And I think it's a perfect fit. That being said, did you tune into the show?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be interested in this show. It's going to be really curious to see how the different relationships, different personalities are managed. I know initially when approached about, you know, being on Hard Knocks, Davis and John Gruden weren't really interested in having the cameras around. They wanted to keep a lot of things in-house. He knows John Gruden's an old-school coach, so he likes to keep everything closed. So I'm curious to see how he handles the cameras being around him. Does he tread lightly? Does he be himself? And then, like, some of the players that date, like you mentioned, Vontez Burfict and Antonio Brown have a history. If you remember back when he was on the Bengals and when Antonio Brown was on the Steelers, if I remember correctly, Vontez knocked Antonio Brown out the game with a rather vicious blow. And then, you know, Richie Incognito, he has a history dating back to his days in Miami. You know, Derek Carr is in a fluctuation a year. His star position is in jeopardy right now. Will they move on from him? And then they even have a rookie defensive tackle, Ronan Ollie, who was mentioned on the Netflix Last Chance University. So he has a lot of potential that people want to see how he develops. So it's a lot of different storylines you could follow, keep everybody interested. And we want to see how Oakland goes, especially with the Chiefs having such a great stronghold on that division. There's a lot of expectations on the Oakland Raiders this year, so it's definitely going to be a great series.
Yep, 5-episode season this summer, training camp with the Oakland Raiders. All eyes will be on this AFC West franchise. I'm looking forward to it. And that is hard knocks to me every time. So you know it's going to be good. They always do it right, and we get a glimpse inside the Oakland Raiders, which I am very excited for as we count down to football season. All right, let's switch it over to doing it big in the DMV, where we will start with arena football. The Washington Valor found themselves back on the winning side of the game as they defeated the Philadelphia Soul 48-41, moving on to 4-3 before they head back home this Saturday to face the Albany Empire, a 6-1 team that the Baltimore Brigade just handed their first loss to. Washington now tied with Baltimore for the second best record in the league. So the Washington Valor, right, they're trying to keep on pace to hopefully bring the Arena Bowl League Championship back home to Washington. You have any thoughts on that, Ray? Hopefully they bring us some rings.
Yeah, it would be good for the area, the DMV area. They're one of the few teams in the area that are actually playing well. the Wizards are kind of down right now. Redskins are kind of down. So it's good to see the Valor doing something. It's exciting. Arena football is exciting to watch. So I think they might bring a little spark to the city, get the city live for the summer.
Yes, so hopefully back-to-back is what we're seeing here in D.C. All right, we're now transitioning to last Sunday when John Wall attended the Mystics 86-62 win over the Dallas Wings. And of course, he said hi to the cameras at their brand new entertainment and sports arena in Southeast D.C. But what caught most people, Ray, was that when John Wall came to the game, he was without a brace on his left heel, which is where he suffered a ruptured Achilles tendon last winter. So we talked about KD's injury. John Wall, all eyes were on him, already ruled out for next season. But, Ray, the fans were happy to see John being able to walk on his own.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see him making some progress, but you don't want to necessarily take that too much. Just because you can walk on it doesn't mean you can run. Doesn't mean he can move laterally. He might just be tired of the brace. You know, sometimes braces hinder your recovery because your muscle gets weak, the tendons get weak. So sometimes you have to actually take the brace off and allow your foot to go back to normal movements, normal range of motion and things like that. So let's not get too excited. Let's see once he starts actually getting out on the court, which they said he's going to probably be out for the entire year anyway. So it's a little premature for the people to celebrate him being out of the brace. But it is progress, so we always have to make sure that we look out for John Wall. He is a great guy and a great player on the Wizards. So I'm excited to have to see him out of the boot, but I'm not ready for him to come back yet. I want him to take his time because, as we see, Achilles injuries are very devastating. With him being the explosive and speed player that he is, he definitely needs to take his time and get all of his injury healed before trying to make a comeback.
So well spoken, Ray. Yes, we do not want to rush him back. Washington needs John Wall because with that contract that he has, he's staying in Washington, people, and we're going to have to make it work. And as you said, it's not reason to get too excited. Now, I know we were excited, though, just seeing him be able to walk. But like Ray said, don't think he's going to be running a mile or springing past you anytime soon. But that being said, John, we wish you the best and glad to see you out and especially supporting the Mystics. Shout out to John Wall for that. I hope he continues to support the First Ladies of Basketball. All right, it's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will be right back with Listen In with K&N right here on Fox Sports Radio.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N. I'm Kelsey Nicole Nelson, joined by Ray Jones, where we are now excited to get to one of my favorite parts of the show, my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where we award athletes and organizations doing good in the community. Yes, we all know there is not enough good news in sports to go around. So that being said, we talked about David Ortiz earlier, Big Papi, and the unfortunate situation that he's certainly recovering from. But I want to praise the Boston Red Sox organization, Ray, because I thought what they did immediately after David Ortiz got shot, they said, we will basically offer any and all resources to him and his family. Yes, all available resources, they said, to help him recover. And that's actually why Big Poppy is back in Boston recovering at a Boston hospital. They made sure he had the best care. The team's general manager said it best. He's on the Mount Rushmore of Boston sports. We want to wish him the best. And I love when sports organizations give back to the players who gave so much to them. And of course, Big Poppy had an incredible career in Boston. Ray, what did you think about that move by the Red Sox?
I mean, it showed the class of the organization. They really didn't have a choice. He is one of the biggest names from the Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
They had to extend that helping hand and do whatever they could and provide whatever resources necessary to allow him, because he sacrificed a lot for that franchise. So shout out to the Red Sox.
Yeah, shout out to the Red Sox. And I hope we see more organizations do similar types of things. And don't forget the players who used to play for you. They still gave everything for you, and they're all, and we know it's the brotherhood in those organizations. So shout out to that. And also, I just want to bring up the point that, remember back in 2013 during the Boston Marathon bombing that actually unfortunately killed three people? If you remember, he got on the megaphone at Fenway Park, and he said, "This is our effing city." All right, so I was happy that the Boston Red Sox organization brought up how when that was a tough time for the city, that David Ortiz was there for them most when the city really needed him. And they, of course, just want him to get better so he can get back to doing what we all know and love. And hopefully get him back in the broadcast booth back soon as he recovers. All right, Ray, it's now time to switch it over to my Woman Crush Everyday segment, where FIFA, the FIFA World Cup. Right, it's all everyone is talking about, and the U.S. women's team is actually favored to win. And it looks like they're well on their way because they set a world record by defeating Thailand 13-0. Now, yes, Thailand wasn't expected to win the game, but right, even if you don't know soccer, you know that score is way too high. So what went right for the women's game?
I mean, they came out fast. And they set the tone. So hopefully they're able to build on this game and take it to the next level, because 13-0, that's an amazing score in any sport. But soccer, of course, because, you know, typically soccer is a lower scoring sport.
Yeah, you know, way too high.
Three, four goals. Even 4 or 5 goals is a lot. So
13-0.
hopefully they maintain this heat and they just keep executing and keep performing and get it going.
My only worry is that maybe that game was too easy, so it was more like a practice, not even a scrimmage. But hopefully, you know, I want them to bring it back home. They beat Thailand 13-0 in Group F. Alex Morgan is the name to remember. She scored a record tying 5 goals for the U.S. women. So keep your eyes out for them, and let's keep rooting on Team USA. All right, well, with that, it is time to wrap up the show. As always, we thank you all for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. And, of course, you can continue to join in on the fun by downloading the show on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to also subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. New shows also drop online each and every week at FoxSports1340AM.com. All right, again, we need your support. We love you guys. And thanks, as always, for listening. Be sure to stay tuned for live events. I'm at The Real K Nelson on social media, and Ray is at @TheOtherRay_J on Twitter. Be sure to also show him some love. Until later this week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at @TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.